Thank you all. You know, I love MCC. As you can possibly imagine, I love the people of MCC, wherever they are, anywhere in the world. And I have to say, my first trip to Nova was 10 years ago, as a colleague of mine was being ordained here. And I was just newly ordained at the time. I'd just come into MCC, and so we were here for a big party. And my memory of Nova is we cleared out all the chairs on Saturday night and had a dance party. And then we had worship the next day. And that's the kind of community that is created here and in many places, but it's a community and it's a memory that I want to share with you to say this is a place where we celebrate, we party, we dance, we embody all of who we are, and we worship together and we work together. And so I am just so grateful to be here. And I bring you greetings. There's a wide world, hundreds and hundreds of churches today, whether it's already Monday morning in New Zealand and Australia and getting early in the morning, or they're wrapping up service in the evening in various parts of the world, or right now in South America. They're all worshiping and they're all gathering and they're doing some of the things we're doing. The language will be different. The songs may not be as fabulous as what you all just did. I will tell you, I've been told, because I don't know every show tune and I don't see them, that my gay card is being revoked. But it is part of who we are, right? It's part of our identities. And we're worshiping and we're going to have communion. We're just going to be exactly what it means to be the people of God. And that's why I'm coming to you today with you know, people for today. People for today. What in the world is going on? What in the world? And so our governing board, our council of elders, our staff, strategic leadership team, we're all working very hard and we're listening to say, what in the world is going on today? So I am the interim moderator. I am here. I was put in place. I was appointed until the next general conference in Orlando. And probably some of you think, never been to a general conference. Don't know what that is. Don't know if I want to go. Well, if I can lure you by the mouse and the house in Orlando to come and experience a global collection of MCC folks, I'm going to just put that little temptation out there, because it'll be 5 days of amazing worship and learning and community. And then if you want to go see the mouse, that's up to you. It's all your choice, or Epcot or whatever you're into. I have to say, though, that I do come knowing that there's going to be dialogue afterwards. So it's a different preaching moment for me. It's a different experience of carrying the word. But I want to start by saying there's a guy named Peter. Have y'all ever, some people don't know much about the Bible, so I don't want to make assumptions. But has anyone ever heard of the character Peter in the Bible? Yes, we've heard of this person. Okay, may not know much about him, just heard the name. That's all right. We all have the same starting place, because there is not one person in the Bible that gives me any more hope than Peter. Okay, because Peter is one of these guys that when you read about him, he can make you so uncomfortable, because Peter just blows it over and over again, right? So for any of us who recognize our humanity and how we might try something and it ends up not exactly as we had intended, there's your character of comfort, right? Peter. So he's out there seeing Jesus walking on the water. He says, hey, Jesus, I can do that. All he gets is wet, right? He sinks. He just sinks. He's always trying to do the right thing. He's challenged, and Jesus is in the garden about to be arrested and taken away to be tried and crucified. And Peter's like, hey, Jesus, I got this. Pulls out a sword, swings it, cuts somebody's ear off. And Jesus, oh, Peter, heals the guy, looks at him. It's okay, you know. But then Peter, who's doing all this stuff to just be like Jesus, you know, protect what's happening, be the one. He denied him 3 times, said he didn't even know him, ran away and hid. Talk about an imperfect, sinking, sword swinging, denying, hiding, and still Jesus loves Peter and says, you know, Peter, you're the one. You're the one that this Christian community is going to be built through. You're the one. Can you imagine that? Jesus, couldn't you have picked somebody a little more holy? I mean, Jesus, but it's hopeful for all of us because you don't have to get it right every time and be perfect. If there's anything in the gospel that we can hold on to today is that we are going to do it imperfectly. We're going to sink. We're going to blow it. And we might even want to run and hide or not even get out the door. But Jesus is still saying to us, you know what? If I used Peter, for goodness God's sake, come on, we can do this. We can do this together. And because, you see, it's not about being right or wrong when you're in the midst of a challenge. It's about being willing. Amen. It's about being willing. And Peter was a person of his culture and his age. He was one of those good guys, just trying to do the right thing. But in the culture and age of the time, he struggled because Jesus wanted to do something bigger than he could even imagine. See, because Peter was a good church guy, you know? So if you know a good church person, I just want you to put them in your mind. And if the only reference you have is Saturday Night Live, that works too, the church lady, okay? Whatever you need to put in your mind of who is the church person with steeple on top and a bell ringing, okay? Let's have that for a minute. And then Jesus said, yeah, that's great, but what I want is all the other people that aren't welcome in the church, the Gentiles. I want them to be the church. And Peter's like, Jesus, come on. You're messing it up, right? We have all these good people, and I'm one of them. I followed the law. I've never done anything wrong. Well, I cut off a guy's ear. I sank. I ran. I hid. But you know what I mean, Jesus. We don't do that because that means these people got to be like us, and I don't know if they can. There's a lot to do. They have to change a lot to be like us. Are y'all feeling this problem? Are you feeling this? Is this maybe speaking to what we might be talking about today? And so Peter was just so hung up in this that he was sleeping one night and God came to him and this blanket came down and there were all these four beasts and said, get up, kill and eat. And he's like, I don't eat that. You know I don't do that. And Jesus said in the dream, do not call unclean what I have made clean. Quit being so judgmental. Quit being so judgmental. We have, you know, this is where we are. I don't know. People worship the idea of God and the tradition back then. People today are worshiping the idea of God and tradition and the nation and the Bible. Back then, the tradition and the scripture and the temple became the place where people were managed and tried and kicked out. Today, the church is the place where people are managed and tried and kicked out. I don't think that's what we're trying to build. I don't think that's what we're trying to build. In fact, God says we're going to do something completely different here. Completely different. But we're a lot like those early day Christians. We miss the point. We miss the point of expanding. And it's true. I mean, me too. Missed it. There's times I thought, oh yeah, I got this. I know exactly what I mean. And then I get faced by a hard truth. Maybe I didn't have it all the way done yet. And that's all right. It's all right. So I went back. Now I've got to say just an important context. I came from Southern Louisiana where I was Roman Catholic. Went into the Charismatic Jesus Movement, joined the United Pentecostal Holiness Church, became a Baptist because I met a really cute redhead girl, and then I finally decided church wasn't going to work, right? So I tried everything to get it right. I tried everything to get it right. And some of you have tried everything to get it right and do it right. But I have to tell you, that left me broken and uncertain of what the Bible or God or religion. I even had a girlfriend who was not a church person say, would you please quit going to church? You're more depressed and upset when you come home than when you went in the first place. Just stop already. So I did. I did. Because it was just, it killed my soul. It didn't feed my soul. And so having come through this whole process over the last 15 years, which MCC did with me, I come back to the scripture with a different opinion, a different way of looking at it. And so the scripture you heard today, 1 Peter, once again, our friend Peter, 1 Peter 2:9, it was used to tell me, well, you've got to be this kind of good Christian. If you're this kind of good Christian, then you're going to go to heaven. But I've come back now and said, no, this is very different. So I rewrote it, if you notice. So some of you who might know your Bible pretty well, I rewrote the scripture, and I want to tell you why. Because I want you to hear it again. You are a chosen generation, a priesthood of all believers, a holy tribe, a peculiar people, in order that you may proclaim the wondrous acts of God, who called you out of sadness and sorrow into the marvelous light. Jesus calls us out. You are a chosen generation that has come out. And you're like, well, I'm not gay. Oh, honey, if you're here, you have come out of something. Okay? You have come out of something, somewhere, somehow. Everyone has had some transformational moment in their lives. There has been a coming out, and it continues. There's a called out of this day and this time and these people today. And then, thank you for mentioning Troy, Frank, because Troy Perry founded MCC, and the one thing he told people 49 years ago and continued to say is, you are the priesthood of all believers. Not only should you be in church, you are the church. You are the church. You are a called out people who are the church. You're the priesthood of all believers. And Nancy Wilson said, you're a holy tribe. You are a tribe, and you are a holy people. And don't let anyone tell you any differently. And so I go back to my old KJV, and I found that word peculiar. Peculiar people. Are we not peculiar? Are we not? And I love that Q word, because that word is queer. And it's not to be mean or rude or pejorative or to do name calling, but it's a way of taking it back and saying, you know what? We are peculiar. And it's all right, because Jesus said it's okay. It's not a sense of odd, and it's actually a proclamation that a younger generation has come back and said, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to let the name calling of another generation be my legacy. Similarly, how the early church, when did they finally say the cross is going to be something we put in our church and around our neck? That thing of shame, that thing of fear, that thing that was used against us to hold us back and tell us, I've got you. When did the early church say, I am not going to let that be the end of my story? Today, there is a generation that is peculiar, that is saying, I am not going to let what anyone tells me be the end of my story. It's the beginning. It is who I am. It is who God called me to be. And I'm going to be all of my fabulousness, all of my peculiarness, and I'm going to do this proclaiming my name, my love, my body, my being, and I am proud of who God made me to be, and without apology, yes, yes, this is who I am. That is being the church. That is when we say in this current reality, we can walk out of sadness and sorrow into the marvelous light. You know, we have a new language. We have a new language. And today, someone... This is where my evangelical comes out, so just take a deep breath. Today, there is someone who will say, enough. They maybe got up and got dressed and was going to church, or they may be sitting there in church today, and they're just saying, enough. That's it. I'm done. And they're going to walk out. and they're going to walk into their own truth. Whatever that truth may be, we don't know what it's going to be. It could be about themselves, about what they're really thinking and feeling, what God calling them to be, the people they love. They're going to come out to God in a variety of ways. They might come out and say, God, I don't believe a thing that I have been told about anything, and I don't even know what to believe. And that's happening today. And majority of religious spaces are not sacred enough, and they're not brave enough to let that conversation happen. They're not brave enough. And we are a people with courage that we have to have that brave space every day. I love the dialogue part you do, because you can bring a question and show up. But we need everyday brave spaces to speak our truths, because this is who we are. We are here to build inclusive communities that spiritually transform people and work for social justice. And we need this more than ever. And this is why I've been reading Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Because if you haven't noticed that we have a real crisis around us, I want to help you. I really do. I mean that. Because if you don't think that there's a crisis going on, we can talk. And I've gone back to talk to somebody who was in the middle of a crisis. And I talked to him through a book. No, I'm not weird. It's just I read his book and I think you're talking. I'm listening. Let's talk, Dietrich. You know, you were one of these guys that you had to make a hard choice. When they told you, you have to put the national flag in the church, he said no. When they told you, you have to do this, he said no. Now, he went a little far. He got a little frustrated. He got a little angry. He said, yeah, I'll plant a bomb and try to blow up Hitler. That led to him being arrested, and he was executed. Right? But that tells you about the intensity of his time and of that place. Some may argue and say he didn't go, he should have done that. That's a pro and con. That's part of our dialogue and our conversation. But I have to tell you, we are in a time that is like no other in the United States. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when he talks about living in community, I get that that was not an easy conversation. And we are in a place that we do not know, as a traveler in the conversation today, the destination. But we know we have a path and we have a journey. And I believe as we read Dietrich and we think about this, that there is a meaning in every journey unknown to the traveler. This is our experience. This is our life. Are you the same as you were 10 years ago? No. No. Some of you are like, don't even think about that. A little more gray, a little more weight, you know, a whole other way of thinking about the world. We all go through this, and we didn't know we'd maybe be here today, 10 years ago. So some change is dramatic, some change is simple, but we're travelers. And we're like Peter, we're going to be changed. And we're going to blow it. But God say, I'm still using you. I'm still using you. Amen. I am. And it's not something to fear. And this is what I have for you today as the people who are called for this day and time. There are no accidents. This is not a mistake. I want you to find hope beyond description. I want you to be filled with the spirit of imagination. I want you to have courage that you didn't even know there was a little lion residing inside of you, ready to roar. And most of all, I want you to have companions for the hard conversations of this journey. And so the second part of 1 Peter, I believe, is our story. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is our story. This is our message. And your faith has liberated you. So whether you're more like Peter or maybe like somebody else, embrace it, live it, love it. Make mistakes, but be honest and say, hey, let's do this together. This is the word for this day and this time, and may it be so. So in this space of dialogue, just a moment for your thoughts, something you might want to say, and I've been told, I must say, you need to be brief. But